Good evening. Warmly welcome, and let me start by extending my warmest congratulations to José Manuel Barroso for having been approved by the European Parliament as President of the Commission for a second term. It creates stability in the work of the Commission and the EU as a whole. We are very pleased with this. In the Swedish presidency, we have worked very hard, and we are very glad to see José Manuel Barroso elected for a second term. Tonight, we have decided, or I decided, to call this informal European Council meeting here in Brussels today to prepare and coordinate EU's position in view of the G20 meeting in Pittsburgh next week. I must say that the G20 is becoming increasingly important. It's a forum for the world's largest economies and has developed into the most important global forum to discuss and handle the economic crisis. Our meeting tonight should not be underestimated. With a population of 500 million people representing over 22% of the world's total economic output, the European Union is the number one leading economic actor in the world. If the EU can speak with one voice at the summit, then we can have political impact and make a difference also at the global level. The language that we have agreed tonight will allow the Union and the Presidency to do that. We are 27 members and one coordinated voice. There are many topics on the agenda of the Pittsburgh summit. It will mainly focus on the economic situation and future growth models. Secondly, on financial market regulation, including bonuses, and thirdly, on climate change. I should remind that we are in the midst of the deepest recession in the post-war era, and the question is whether the worst of the global crisis is over or if this is only a temporary respite. The outlook is uncertain, and the risks remain. On the one hand side, we see signs of stabilization of global growth. On the other hand, we expect large budgetary deficits in 2010. It's actually around 10% of GDP for the G7 countries, according to some studies. We have agreed at our meeting tonight that exit strategies out of the crisis need to be designed now, but implemented later, as soon as recovery takes hold. We need to get our public finances back on track. Timing of exit might need to vary between our countries, and I expect that handling of coordinated exits will be a main topic for the Pittsburgh meeting next week. On the financial market and bonuses, we have agreed to say that enough is enough and that we need to move away from the current culture of compensation based on short-term performance. I'm pleased to say that, from our point of view, the bonus bubble burst tonight. G20 plays a crucial role to globally regulate financial markets, not to see a return of the crisis. This is one of my main messages for Pittsburgh. Banks, some of which owe their very survival to massive support of taxpayers' money, should not be able to take advantage of good results in the future, pretending that the crisis was only a minor setback. This would be a provocation against the citizens of Europe, especially in face of the steep rise in unemployment. We cannot accept that bank profits are private gains and bank losses are the taxpayers' responsibility. The EU will call on the G20 next week to enhance the scope and detail of the principles for sound compensation practices. There is a need to strengthen such principles. We particularly want to focus on the link between performance and compensation, compensation accountability, and transparency. On unemployment, the unemployment in the EU is expected to reach almost 11% in 2010, which is a post-war record. The number of unemployed is forecasted to increase by as many as 9.5 million people between 2008 and 2010. On a personal note, I can say that that's more people than we have inhabitants in my home country, Sweden. This is a personal tragedy for those affected, but also a loss for our society as a whole. Each and every unemployed is a lost opportunity for further growth and prosperity. We need to take action to turn around this development, and I'm looking forward to discussions with the G20 countries, what can be done about it at global level. It's valuable that the ILO will be presented in this case in Pittsburgh. When it comes to climate change, negotiations are far too slow. The world has a fever, as we know. We need to stop the acting and start the action. This is the message I will deliver on climate change next week. We have 80 days left to Copenhagen, 50 negotiation days in Bangkok, and we have 2,500 brackets in negotiation documents to solve. The developing world needs our help to pay the bill, a bill that we helped to create through our emissions. We have today, therefore, started to look at the costs. We have started to take concrete steps on one of the key issues in the negotiations. In all my conversations, meetings and trips during the coming 80 days, climate change will be on the top of my agenda. Thank you.
Thank you very much. First of all, thank you. Thank you to the Swedish presidency and to Prime Minister Reinfeldt for his congratulations and the congratulations of all the members of the European Council on my re-election as President of the Commission, and also thanks to the Swedish presidency for all the commitment it put in this process. Next week in Pittsburgh will be the third G20 meeting since the beginning of the crisis. It will be the third time that Europe goes into the G20 united around a clear position. We have agreed tonight on an ambitious, at the same time achievable set of objectives. I want to express my appreciation for the great work done by the Swedish presidency. The G20's long-term objective must be, we believe, nothing less than a new world economic model for sustainable growth. A new world economic model based on firm and lasting recovery, renewed job creation, and employment is our first concern in Europe, stronger resilience against future crises, and a greener, more equitable, better balanced global economy. The truth is that progress unthinkable only a couple of years ago has been made, but our task has only just begun. As the next step, we have agreed tonight that Europe should seek further G20 commitments in Pittsburgh in three broad areas. First, the G20 must act to turn tentative signs of recovery into sustainable prosperity. Greater international coordination in G20, not only on financial markets, but on growth and recovery. This will be our message in Pittsburgh. Second, we also have agreed tonight that G20 must step up a gear on financial market reform. We need to return the financial system to viability, but we must show zero tolerance for any return to the bad old ways. In Pittsburgh, the European Union will point to our strong record and insist that others follow. For example, regarding bonuses. Our citizens are understandably horrified at reports of banks receiving public money paying exorbitant bonuses. We will insist at the G20 on coordinated and decisive international action. More effective regulation is in the interest of all ethical financial institutions. Prudent financial institutions must not be at the mercy of reckless behavior by their competitors. So the G20 should speed up momentum on ensuring a global level playing field and on raising the quality of cross-border supervision. Again, Europe is showing the way. On the 23rd of this month, on the eve of the G20, the European Commission will put forward a detailed blueprint for a truly European system of financial supervision. We believe that that model for Europe can serve as inspiration for a global system based on similar principles. The third area where we have agreed tonight to push hard for progress is in the fight against climate change. Prime Minister Reinfeldt asked me to present the communication adopted recently by the Commission, where we put some ideas for financing. And we have put it forward precisely to unblock the negotiations. We are very worried about lack of ambition in negotiations, only 80 days from Copenhagen. To make progress, we need to talk figures. That is why we have put on the table a proposal. Our message to the developing world is that if they are serious about the challenge of cutting emissions, we'll be there to help, not with a blank check, but with a fair proposal. Our message to the developed world is that we need to make a credible financial commitment to the developing world together with our mitigation commitments. The equation is straightforward. No money, no deal. But if there are no actions, no money. At the same time, we want to make it clear that a proper global carbon market is not an optional extra. We need to make this work quickly. We need to break this deadlock. I believe European Union leaders have made progress tonight. Now we go to New York and Pittsburgh to get serious about global progress.
Ben Nimmo from the German press agency DPA. A question for both gentlemen. You've been fairly outspoken in what you want the G20 to achieve next week. Given the problems particularly facing the United States, given their preoccupation with healthcare at the minute, why do you think that the G20 should do what the EU wants? Thank you.
Well, first of all, the financial crisis started in the United States. This is also the concern of taxpayers, the people of the United States, to solve this problem. We can see that President Obama has addressed the problem as such in speeches that he delivered just the other day. So, of course, to be able to really tell to the people around the world that we have addressed this problem, we understand that we need a global coordinated answer. We don't live, I mean, what would be easier for me than to say to Swedish voters, I have solved this nationally, only in Sweden, but they wouldn't believe me, because financial institutions, financial capitals are cross borders, they are global. That's why we need a global coordinated answer, and we hope to see that in Pittsburgh. And I think it is as important for Americans, for President Obama, as it is for the European Union.
I just want to add what Prime Minister Reinfeldt said, that in fact not only there is some kind of responsibility coming from the United States because of the origin of this crisis, but also President Obama is a great political capital in the United States and in the world. This G20 summit is going to take place in Pittsburgh, so I really hope that President Obama will use his great political capital to commit the United States to these principles of global governance, also to achieve success at Pittsburgh. We in the European Union were at the origin of this process. It was the European Union that asked to start this process of G20. We had a meeting in Washington. Afterwards, the second summit was in London with the leadership of Gordon Brown. And now it's the third. And in fact, in Pittsburgh, we are going also to discuss about the future process of this. Are we going or not to keep the momentum about global governance in economic matters? For instance, in macroeconomic dialogue globally, not only between Europe and the United States, but with major partners like Russia, China, India, and other emerging economies. So it's in fact, a decisive moment when we are living in Pittsburgh. I'm going to add on a personal note. I believe that if Pittsburgh fails, there is a real risk that this commitment that we have shown and that we have seen some real progress addressing the financial crisis will vanish. On the contrary, if we see that momentum is kept, that is a good signal for the future. We have seen progress. I mean, the response to this financial crisis was amazing in some regards. The amount of money put by the governments in Europe, and not only in Europe, to save the financial banks and avoid systemic risk was huge. And for the first time, we have not only the developed world, but big emerging economies. So there is hope here. It will be a very important moment, Pittsburgh, and we believe that American leadership is really committed to it, and we are going there with exactly this spirit to work hand in hand with our American partners and friends to make it a success.
Johanna Johnson, Swedish Television. Jag kommer ställa frågan på svenska. Hoppas
att statsminister
Reinfeldt har möjlighet att svara på svenska också.
Perhaps you could answer
ni har ikväll
Swedish
också pratat om klimatförhandlingarna
you talked about
och hur man ska finansiera
and how,
omställningarna.
The
och jag undrar, hur mycket närmare har ni
funded?
Kommit
I'd like to know
en
how much progress did you make in the path towards Copenhagen?
I'm asked to answer in Swedish. I understand that not everyone is fluent in Swedish, but I still say. Vi har i våra slutsatser refererat till kommissionens presenterade siffror både för behovet av 100 miljarder eurons nivå investeringsmedel 2020. Men också idén om att ha tidiga pengar, alltså som kommer 2010-2012, i nivå av 5-7 miljarder euro per år. Det där skulle betyda oerhört mycket för att skapa trovärdighet för förmåga och möjlighet att ställa om, som framförallt utvecklingsländer kommer hänvisa till att de behöver göra med sakna egna resurser för. Men det är viktigt att påpeka det som också president Barroso sa, att vårt krav är att detta måste mötas av reduktionsmål. Antingen den typ av reduktionsmål som utvecklade länder har tagit på sig, men också att avvika från den process, den ökning av utsläpp som många utvecklingsländer har framför sig. Det måste leverera på tvågradersmålet. Då kommer också finansieringen finnas till stöd och då kommer vi att kunna få ihop detta i Köpenhamn. Så att det här är viktiga signaler, men det är mycket kvar att göra för att nå detta till att bli en överenskommelse i Köpenhamn.
Before Copenhagen.
Over here, Darren Ennis of Reuters. Two questions specifically on the G20 next week. First of all, on the bankers' bonuses, do you expect a deal with the US on that? And if not, is the European Union willing to go it alone unilaterally based on what is agreed today, such as what Jean-Claude Juncker and Nicolas Sarkozy has suggested? And on climate change, again, will you discuss finance specifically at the G20 in Pittsburgh, and can you get some form of a framework at the G20? And if so, what do you think are the likely numbers?
Well, first of all, on climate finance, it was actually President Obama who will be presiding the meeting in Pittsburgh who put it up on the agenda. And we welcome this. We understand the importance of having a discussion on how to finance mitigation and adaptation measures. I think, therefore, it's important that we have phrased ourselves with the figures mentioned by the Commission. And, of course, this also mentions that we have figures on the table. But it's very important to link this to mitigation efforts because they are not sufficient to take us to the 2-degree target when we sum them up at the moment. We need to have increased reduction targets both on the developed part of the world but also on the major economies, the growing economies of the world. If this is possible to finalize in any way in Pittsburgh, it's too early to say, because of course we also need, and just as President Barroso stated, it has been a fantastic shift in the US administration. A very professional team on climate change has been put in place. A very important step has been taken in the House of Representatives with the Waxman-Markey legislation. But need to be more done to be able to reach the levels that we have in Europe. So we hope a lot for progress together with President Obama on this, and we have these figures in our pocket to show when we come to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the issue, let me just underline that we have already put in the table to the Commission some precise rules on bonuses and remuneration, not only a recommendation but legal binding proposals. So whatever the result of Pittsburgh, at least the Commission position is that, yes, we should adopt in Europe some of these rules. Of course, it is important when you speak about finance and global finance to try to achieve as much as possible level playing field. Because as we have seen in this crisis, everything is connected. But in the European Union, we have already put forward a proposal. It's now in the table of the Council. It's going to be discussed on some precise rules to limit the compensation for in some of this kind of in some of this executive pay.
Ivo Caizzi, Corriere della Sera. I would like to know if in the Council you discussed on the possibility to introduce a tax on the international financial transactions, and what's the opinion on the Council on that?
It is not in the agreed language that we have presented from the meeting. There is a lot of things that is mentioned during a meeting like the ones one we have now had, but it's not in our agreed language.
Thank you. Michał Kot from Polish Press Agency. It's on international issues here, Mr. President, both for President Barroso and the presidency. President Obama said today that the United States would not set up a shield against long-range missiles in Poland and Czech Republic. I wonder how satisfied you are with this decision to abandon the idea of former President Bush that created so many tensions and divisions among member states. Thank you.
Well, with the deepest respect, we view this as a bilateral issue between Poland and the United States and not for something for European Union to comment on.
Prime Minister Adam Cohn from Dow Jones, can you elaborate for us what you mean by coordinated exit strategies? Does this mean that if the European economy recovers faster than the U.S. and other major economies, that countries will refrain from withdrawing fiscal stimulus, will keep budget deficits high? And conversely, is that something that Europe would expect from the U.S., that the U.S. keeps fiscal stimulus as long until the global economy recovers, everyone continues to play ball?
The concern is that we do not want to signal to withdraw the financial stimulus because we think that's needed for the economic recovery. So it will stay on. Then it's at the same time important to say that with budget deficit in some countries actually with double digits, this also need to be addressed. So that means preparing discussions, preparing on how to get an exit strategy, not so get us into a position where we have a very high degree of debt in different countries and thereby being less prepared for a new crisis that might occur in a couple of years. By saying coordinated, that means that not all European countries are on the same point of deficits or national debt. There are differences, and this should, of course, be regarded when we discuss exit strategies like this. But just also to remind that long term, I mean, this problem we've had with the financial crisis was that individuals lended more money than they could pay, that they could actually afford. The solution cannot be that countries now behave the same way. That's not a long-term solution how to solve this. So by the end of this crisis, we all have to get back our public finances in balance or even in a surplus. So that is what we are trying to achieve. Respect for the need for these stimulus, but also the need to prepare for the exit strategies.
Okay, thank you very much. That will conclude this press conference. The agreed language is available to you outside this room. Have a nice evening and see you back here next week. And on the website of the presidency, sc2009.eu. Thank you.